March 24th. Our reading in the Old Testament comes from the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 2, verse 1 through chapter 3, verse 29. Here's a brief overview of what we'll be reading about in Scripture today. You know, when the Israelites passed through Seir, God advised them to be careful. The Israelites were known as warriors, and the descendants of Esau, the Edomites, would be understandably nervous as the great crowd passed through their land. God warned the Israelites not to start a fight, to respect the Edomites' territory, and to pay for whatever they used. God wanted the Israelites to deal justly with these neighbors. We must also act justly in dealing with others. Recognize the rights of others, even your opponents. By behaving wisely and justly, you may be able to establish or restore a relationship. Israel did not have to spend 40 years on the way to the promised land. God sentenced them to wilderness wanderings because they rejected His love, rebelled against His authority, ignored His commands for right living, and willfully broke their end of the agreement made in Exodus back in chapter 19 and chapter 24. In short, they disobeyed God continually. Well, we often make life's journey more difficult than necessary by our disobedience. Hey, accept God's love. Read and follow His commands in the Bible. And make a promise to stick with God, whatever your situation. You'll find that your life will be less complicated and much more rewarding. Now God told Moses He would make the enemy nations terrified of Israel. By worldly standards, Israel's army was not intimidating. But Israel had God on its side. You know, you and God, even though you're just one person, you and God, that's a majority. You have the majority there. Moses no longer had to worry about his enemies because his enemies were worried about him. God often goes before us in our daily battles, preparing the way and overcoming barriers. We need to follow him wholeheartedly and be alert to his leading. The Israelites faced a big problem, the well-trained army of Og, king of Bashan. The Israelites hardly stood a chance, but they won because God fought for them. God can help His people regardless of the problems they face. No matter how insurmountable the obstacles may seem, remember that God is sovereign and He will keep His promises. Now with that, let's begin our reading today here in the Old Testament. March 24th, the Old Testament. Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 1 through chapter 3, verse 29. Then we turned around and headed back across the wilderness toward the Red Sea, just as the Lord had instructed me. And we wandered around in the region of Mount Seir for a long time. Then, at last, the Lord said to me, "You've been wandering around in this hill country long enough. Turn to the north. Give these orders to the people. You will pass through the country belonging to your relatives, the Edomites, the descendants of Esau, who live in Seir. The Edomites will feel threatened, so be careful. Do not bother them, for I have given them all the hill country around Mount Seir as their property, and I will not give you even one square foot of their land. If you need food to eat or water to drink, pay them for it. For the Lord your God has blessed you in everything you have done. He has watched your every step through this great wilderness. During these 40 years, the Lord your God has been with you, and you have lacked nothing." So we bypassed the territory of our relatives, the descendants of Esau, who lived in Seir. We avoided the road through the Arabah Valley that comes up from Elath and Ezion-Geber. Then as we turned north along the desert route through Moab, the Lord warned us, "Do not bother the Moabites, the descendants of Lot, or start a war with them. I have given them Ar as their property, and I will not give you any of their land." A race of giants called the Emites had once lived in the area of Ar. They were as strong and numerous and tall as the Anakites, another race of giants. Both the Emites and the Anakites are also known as the Rephaites, though the Moabites called them Emites. In earlier times, the Horites had lived in Seir, but they were driven out and displaced by the descendants of Esau, just as Israel drove out the people of Canaan when the Lord gave Israel their land. Moses continued, "Then the Lord said to us, 'Get moving, cross the Zered brook.' So we crossed the brook. 38 years passed from the time we first left Kadesh Barnea
until we finally crossed the Zirid Brook. By then, all the men old enough to fight in battle had died in the wilderness as the Lord had vowed would happen. The Lord struck them down until they had all been eliminated from the community. When all the men of fighting age had died, the Lord said to me, "Today you will cross the border of Moab at Ar and enter the land of the Ammonites, the descendants of Lot. But do not bother them or start a war with them. I have given the land of Ammon to them as their property, and I will not give you any of their land." That area was once considered the land of the Rephaites, who had lived there, though the Ammonites call them Zamzumites. They were also as strong and numerous and tall as the Anakites, but the Lord destroyed them so the Ammonites could occupy their land. He had done the same for the descendants of Esau who lived in Seir, for he destroyed the Horites so they could settle there in their place. The descendants of Esau live there to this day. A similar thing happened when the Kaphtorites from Crete invaded and destroyed the Avites who had lived in villages in the area of Gaza. Moses continued. Then the Lord said, "Now get moving. Cross the Arnon Gorge. Look, I will hand over to you Sihon the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and I will give you his land. Attack him and begin to occupy the land. Beginning today, I will make people throughout the earth terrified because of you. When they hear reports about you, they will tremble with dread and fear." Moses continued, "From the wilderness of Kedemoth, I sent ambassadors to King Sihon of Heshbon with this proposal of peace. Let us travel through your land. We will stay on the main road and won't turn off into the fields on either side. Sell us food to eat and water to drink, and we will pay for it. All we want is permission to pass through your land. The descendants of Esau who live in Seir allowed us to go through their country, and so did the Moabites who live in Ar. Let us pass through until we cross the Jordan into the land the Lord our God is giving us." But King Sihon of Heshbon refused to allow us to pass through, because the Lord your God made Sihon stubborn and defiant, so he could help you defeat him, as he has now done. Then the Lord said to me, "Look, I have begun to hand King Sihon and his land over to you. Begin now to conquer and occupy his land." Then King Sihon declared war on us and mobilized his forces at Jahaz. But the Lord our God handed him over to us, and we crushed him, his sons, and all his people. We conquered all his towns and completely destroyed everyone, men, women, and children. Not a single person was spared. We took all the livestock as plunder for ourselves, along with anything of value from the towns we ransacked. The Lord our God also helped us conquer Aroer on the edge of the Arnon Gorge, and the town in the gorge, and the whole area as far as Gilead. No town had walls too strong for us. However, we avoided the land of the Ammonites all along the Jabbok River and the towns in the hill country, all the places the Lord our God had commanded us to leave alone. Next, we turned and headed for the land of Bashan, where King Og and his entire army attacked us at Edrei. But the Lord told me, "Do not be afraid of him, for I have given you victory over Og and his entire army, and I will give you all his land. Treat him just as you treated King Sihon of the Amorites, who ruled in Heshbon." So the Lord our God handed King Og and all his people over to us, and we killed them all. Not a single person survived. We conquered all 60 of his towns, the entire Argob region in his kingdom of Bashan. Not a single town escaped our conquest. These towns were all fortified with high walls and barred gates. We also took many unwalled villages at the same time. We completely destroyed the kingdom of Bashan, just as we had destroyed King Sihon of Heshbon. We destroyed all the people in every town we conquered, men, women, and children alike. But we kept all the livestock for ourselves and took plunder from all the towns. So we took the land of the two Amorite kings east of the Jordan River, all the way from the Arnon Gorge to Mount Hermon. Mount Hermon is called Sirion by the Sidonians, and the Amorites call it Sinir. We had now conquered all the cities on the plateau and all Gilead and Bashan, as far as the towns of Selika and Edrei, which were part of Og's kingdom in Bashan. King Og of Bashan was the last survivor of the giant Rephaites. His bed was made of iron and was more than 13 feet long and 6 feet wide. It can still be seen in the Ammonite city of Rabbah. When we took possession of this land, I gave to the tribes of Reuben and Gad the territory beyond Aroer along the Arnon Gorge, plus half of the hill country of Gilead with its towns. Then I gave the rest of Gilead and all of Bashan, Og's former kingdom, to the half-tribe of Manasseh. This entire Argob region of Bashan used to be known as the land of the Rephaites. Jair, a leader from the tribe of Manasseh, conquered the whole Argob region in Bashan, all the way to the border of the Gersherites and Maacathites. Jair named this region after himself, calling it the towns of Jair, as it is still known today. I gave Gilead to the clan of Machir, but I also gave part of Gilead to the tribes of Reuben and Gad. The area I gave them extended from the middle of the Arnon Gorge in the south to the Jabbok River on the Ammonite frontier. They also received the Jordan Valley, all the way from the Sea of Galilee down to the Dead Sea, with the Jordan River serving as the western boundary. To the east were the slopes of Pisgah. At that time, I gave this command to the tribes that would live east of the Jordan. Although the Lord your God has given you this land as your property, all your fighting men must cross the Jordan ahead of your Israelite relatives, armed and ready to assist them. Your wives, children, and numerous livestock, however, may stay behind in the towns I have given you. When the Lord has given security to the rest of the Israelites, as he has to you, and when they occupy the land the Lord your God is giving them across the Jordan River, then you may all return here to the land I have given you. At that time, I gave Joshua this charge. You've seen for yourself everything the Lord your God has done to these two kings. He will do the same to all the kingdoms on the west side of the Jordan. Do not be afraid of the nations there, for the Lord your God will fight for you. At that time I pleaded with the Lord and said, O sovereign Lord, you have only begun to show your greatness and the strength of your hand to me, your servant. Is there any God in heaven or on earth who can perform such great and mighty deeds as you do? Please let me cross the Jordan to see the wonderful land on the other side, the beautiful hill country and the Lebanon mountains. But the Lord was angry with me because of you, and he would not listen to me. That's enough, he declared. Speak of it no more. But go up to Pisgah Peak and look over the land in every direction. Take a good look, but you may not cross the Jordan River. Instead, commission Joshua and encourage and strengthen him, for he will lead the people across the Jordan. He will give them all the land you now see before you as their possession. So we stayed in the valley near Beth Peor. And now it's time for our reading in the New Testament. And our narrative today comes from the book of Luke, chapter 6. We'll read through verses 12 through 38. And let's have an overview of what we're going to be reading about before we actually begin the narrative. The gospel writers note that before every important event in Jesus' life, he would take time to go off by himself and pray. But this time, as we'll read here today, Jesus was preparing to choose his inner circle, the 12 apostles. Make sure that all your important decisions are grounded in prayer. Jesus had many disciples, learners, but he chose only 12 apostles as messengers. Those two terms are synonymous, apostles, messengers. The apostles were his inner circle to whom he gave special training and whom he sent out with his own authority. These were the men who started the Christian church. Now Jesus selected ordinary guys with a mixture of backgrounds and personalities to be his disciples. Today, God calls ordinary people together to build his church, teach salvation's message, and serve others out of love. Alone, we may feel unqualified to serve Christ effectively, but together we make a group strong enough to serve God in any way. Ask for patience to accept the diversity of people in your church and build on the variety of strengths represented in your group. Now, we'll read here today that the disciples are not always listed by the same names. For example, Simon is sometimes called Peter or Cephas. Matthew is also known as Levi. Bartholomew is thought to be the same person as Nathanael. Judas, the son of James, is also called Thaddeus. Now, once word of Jesus' healing power spread, crowds gathered just to touch him. Now for many, he'd become a magician or a symbol of good fortune. Instead of desiring God's pardon and love, they only wanted physical healing or a chance to see some spectacular events or just to be around the big celebrity himself. Now, some people still see God as a cosmic magician and consider prayer as a way to get God to do his tricks. But God is not a magician. He is the master, maker of the universe. Prayer is not a way for us to control God. It is a way for us to put ourselves under his control. Now, as we read on here today in chapter 6, we'll come to the verses 20 through 23. These verses are called the Beatitudes, from the Latin word meaning blessing. They describe what it means to be Christ's follower, give standards of conduct, and contrast kingdom values with worldly values, showing what Christ's followers can expect from the world and what God will give them. In addition, they contrast fake piety with true humility. They also show how Old Testament expectations are fulfilled in God's kingdom. And now let's begin our reading today here in the New Testament. March 24th, the New Testament, Luke chapter 6, verses 12 through 38. One day soon afterward, Jesus went up on a mountain to pray, and he prayed to God all night. At daybreak, he called together all of his disciples and chose 12 of them to be apostles. Here are their names: Simon, whom he named Peter, Andrew, Peter's brother, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, Matthew, Thomas, James, son of Alphaeus, Simon, who was called the Zealot, Judas, son of James, Judas Iscariot, who later betrayed him. When they came down from the mountain, the disciples stood with Jesus on a large, level area, surrounded by many of his followers and by the crowds. There were people from all over Judea and from Jerusalem and from as far north as the sea coasts of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and those troubled by evil spirits were healed. Everyone tried to touch him, because healing power went out from him, and he healed everyone. Then Jesus turned to his disciples and said, "God blesses you who are poor, for the kingdom of God is yours. God blesses you who are hungry now, for you will be satisfied. God blesses you who weep now, for in due time you will laugh. What blessings await you when people hate you and exclude you and mock you and curse you as evil because you follow the Son of Man? When that happens, be happy. Yes, leap for joy, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, their ancestors treated the ancient prophets that same way. What sorrow awaits you who are rich? For you have your only happiness now. What sorrow awaits you who are fat and prosperous now? For a time of awful hunger awaits you. What sorrow awaits you who laugh now? For your laughing will turn to mourning and sorrow. What sorrow awaits you who are praised by the crowds? For their ancestors also praised false prophets. But to you who are willing to listen, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who hurt you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, offer the other cheek also. If someone demands your coat, offer your shirt also. Give to anyone who asks. And when things are taken away from you, don't try to get them back. Do to others as you would like them to do to you. If you love only those who love you, why should you get credit for that? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good only to those who do good to you, why should you get credit? Even sinners do that much. And if you lend money only to those who can repay you, why should you get credit? Even sinners will lend to other sinners for a full return. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Lend to them without expecting to be repaid. Then your reward from heaven will be very great, and you will truly be acting as children of the Most High, for he is kind to those who are unthankful and wicked. You must be compassionate, just as your Father is compassionate. Do not judge others, and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others, or it will all come back against you. Forgive others, and you will be forgiven. Give, and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over, and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Psalm 67, verses 1 through 7. Could the psalm writer here have looked across the years to see the gospel go throughout the earth? Well, this psalm surely speaks of the fulfillment of the Great Commission, which is outlined there in Matthew 28, when Jesus commanded that the gospel be taken to all nations. Count yourself among that great crowd of believers worldwide who know the Savior. Praise Him for His good news and share that gospel so that the harvest will be abundant. Now, every verse in this psalm mentions God's relationship with the entire globe. The intended audience of this message spans the world. God repeatedly spoke to and through His people about His love for all nations. So we'll read this psalm with the realization that it was written for and about you. Psalm 67, verses 1 through 7. For the choir director, a song. A psalm to be accompanied by stringed instruments. May God be merciful and bless us. May His face smile with favor on us. Interlude. May your ways be known throughout the earth, your saving power among people everywhere. May the nations praise you, O God. Yes, may all the nations praise you. Let the whole world sing for joy, because you govern the nations with justice and guide the people of the whole world. Interlude. May the nations praise you, O God. Yes, may all the nations praise you. Then the earth will yield its harvests, and God, our God, will richly bless us. Yes, God will bless us, and people all over the world will fear Him. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 27. If you search for good, you will find favor. But if you search for evil, it will find you.